on Thursday, a couple of hours before our festival officially begins, we have a tradition here at St. Dominic where we open the rides up for families of children with special needs. It gives them an opportunity not to have to wait in line, also to not be embarrassed by the crowds watching them, and to not feel bad that they might take a little bit longer to get on and off the ride. Plus, they can ride those rides as many times as they want. As I was sitting in the shade watching the excitement unfold that Thursday afternoon, I noticed a mom. She went and she plucked her teenage son right out of the wheelchair. She threw him over her shoulder like a bag of potatoes and walked him up the stairs to the Tilt-A-Whirl. He was about the same size as his mom. And despite their equal proportion, she carried him without much effort. And I could tell that she did this maneuver probably several times during the day. And I watched as the ride started, and I saw her son, who seemed to be having the time of his life. I couldn't help but think of our story today on the Good Samaritan. The one man who stopped must have taken that beaten man and thrown him over his shoulders and carried him to safety, just like the mom did with her almost adult son. Here amidst a plethora of carnival rides, I was seeing Jesus' parable lived out at our St. Dominic Festival. And just when I thought I came to help out, I was privileged to experience the mercy of God. On November 20th, 2016, Pope Francis closed the holy doors, signifying the end of the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy. And in doing so, he said this: "Mercy constitutes the very existence of the Church, through which the profound truths of the gospel are made manifest and tangible." He continued, "Everything is revealed in mercy. Everything is resolved through the merciful love of the Father." Although the Year of Mercy officially ended, Pope Francis said, "Our experience of God's mercy does not." It is this one simple thing I wish to speak to you about this evening, the mercy of God. We are a church of mercy. We are proclaimers of mercy. We are receivers of mercy. And we are to be a people of mercy. To support that declaration, I want you to listen at how often we speak of God's mercy in our Sunday worship. Pay attention to how many times we ask for, invoke, or give thanks for the mercy of God. So far, about halfway through our Mass, I've counted already 6 times we've talked about God's mercy. We are constantly asking for God's mercy. We live in God's mercy. So what does living in God's mercy mean? First, it means that God's mercy sits like a safety net over every moment of our lives and over everything that exists. It means that there is no one and no thing away from God's mercy. God offers his love to everyone at every time. Being in God's mercy also means that he's always there. God is there in the most joyful days and the worst days of our lives. God is there when you are told that your cancer is in remission, and he's equally there when the doctor tells you that your cancer has returned. God is never absent from your life. Living in God's mercy also means we live a life of gray, not black and white. We listen and live in a both-and world instead of an either-or world. We don't have all the answers, and we never will, but we will go further by walking in another person's shoes. We often try to find security in a world of absolutes. We think we have our lives and everything all figured out. But then we get married, we have kids, we get sick, we watch our parents age, and we realize the paper fortress that we have built to protect ourselves. It is when we see the world in gray that we understand that there is but one absolute, the mercy of God. Living in the mercy of God allows us to leave the judgment to God, who knows the whole story, not just part of the story that we do. And just that very decision to give up judgment, to live in gray, brings great peace and gratitude in our lives. Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber victim? He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." It is often said that you cannot give what you do not have. To offer mercy, you must first to have been given, or should I say, accepted mercy from God. We call that conversion. We call it redemption. We call it being free. Knowing God loves us always, we can give to God all of our sins, even the secret ones that we carry, the ones no one else knows. We can give them to God in humility and accept forgiveness of ourselves. Forgiveness for all of it, everything we've ever done in our lives. We can accept God's mercy no matter what we have done. We can then accept the absolute freely given love that we are offered every moment in our lives. We can finally do what we always hear and everybody's telling us, to live in the moment, because it is in the present moment that you find that overwhelming gift of God's love. There is no offense, no sin, no condition or addiction which cannot be forgiven. There is no one so distant from God that he or she cannot in an instant reach out and touch God's mercy and be healed. When you have experienced the mercy of God in your lives, when you have been forgiven, then you can go out and do likewise. We often imagine ourselves in Jesus' parables, and we always think about who we are in each of the stories. For years, I imagined myself in this Good Samaritan story. Well, I would be the Good Samaritan. And I would compare myself to the priest, because I wasn't a priest back then, but now I am. And I'd say, okay, they wouldn't help, but I would help. But I'd compare myself to those other ones, the ones that moved past the beaten man unmoved. I was always looking at the wrong place and the wrong people. In the parable, we are not meant to compare ourselves to any of the passerbys. We are all the one beaten, laying on the ground at the road. We are the child that was carried by his mother up to the tilt-a-whirl. We are the ones broken and battered. We are carried to safety by God, and we experience the joy of God's mercy, and we are changed. We are healed. We recover, and we become fully alive. When we can cry out, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner," when we can accept the mercy of God and see ourselves as sinners who have been forgiven, then we can do what Jesus tells us. When we have experienced living in God's mercy, then we can share God's mercy. And if we live there long enough in his mercy, we become God's mercy. So before you go out to offer mercy to others, get on your knees and cry out to God in gratitude and joy, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me." After you have felt the mercy of God and lived in the mercy of God, then go and do likewise.